Okay, before I can talk about personal holiness, I need to talk about the holiness of God, because that's where it all starts. So how holy is God? God is in a whole class of his own, distinct from anything that ever existed. He is entirely morally pure, all of the time and in every way. It is the essence of who he is. It is revealed in everything he does, thinks, desires, and speaks. He is holy in all of his attributes and every action. What he does is always right. What he says is always true. And what he promises, he will always deliver. Without the holiness of God, there would be no moral law for us to live by. There would be no perfect son sent as an acceptable sacrifice for sin. And no vindication for the resurrection, no final defeat of Satan, no power, or no hope of a new heaven and earth where holiness will reign over us and in us forever. He is ruling and sovereign. Evil is not in control, even though it feels like it is sometimes. Injustice does not rule. Corruption is not king, and Satan will not have victory. God is worthy of our trust because he is holy. Isaiah 6:5 says, when Isaiah encounters God, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And Isaiah is not only struck by God's utter holiness, but by his brokenness because he realizes how morally separated he is from the Lord. It is only by God's holiness that we will be broken by the disaster of sin that lives within us. It is only by God's holiness that we realize the disastrous condition of our heart that causes us to willingly and repeatedly rebel against the authority of God and do what we were never intended to do. So our hindrances to holiness, and there are many of them. Holiness means being set apart from sin. The battle of the Christian life is a battle of our mind. As your mind goes, so does the entirety of your Christian life. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it reads, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, if the enemy can control your thoughts, he can control your life. If we don't win the battle for holiness on the inside, we will lose the battle on the outside. Our minds, hearts, and wills are the battlefronts where our battles are lost and won. There's a war going on between the flesh of man and the spirit of God. Our flesh is hostile toward God, so we can't please him if we are living a lifestyle outside of him. So I must ask myself, am I going to live by the spirit or by the flesh? Who will be on the throne guiding me daily? Will it be my flesh or will it be the Spirit of God? It's all about obedience to his commandments and submission to his will. Oh, we forget who we are because of the pleasures of this world. They enchant us. It is not easy to be holy because we live in an unholy world. When we are immersed in the world, we allow ourselves to be influenced by it. The enemy is everywhere, and we struggle with our unredeemed human nature, the flesh. And this is me. I often feel defeated because it doesn't seem to matter how much I want to be holy. I am broken because the world is broken, and I will not fully become like Christ until I am in heaven. So we are to set nothing in front of our eyes that is worthless. Social media, TV, unwholesome books, and the list goes on. Let us run from temptation and make no provision for the flesh. We need to actively pursue holiness if we want to draw closer to God, because the world is unholy and will put hindrances and obstacles in front of us. So the good news is who we are in Christ. 1 Peter 1:15-16 states, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" At salvation, we become indwelt with the Holy Spirit. This is the only way our hearts and minds can be renewed, when we put our faith in the finished work of Christ. We can't be holy by trying harder. We are empowered to live holy lives by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is always a progressive work in our lives, and it never ends until we go to heaven. Yes, we are broken, but this isn't our identity. We must not focus on our failed attempts at holiness, but look at the gospel of grace and seek to be like Jesus. We must trust him to make us holy. We are holy because we have been bought by the blood of Jesus at salvation. We stand before him as righteous because of the perfect righteousness of Jesus that Jesus has been given over to our personal account. We are already perfect in God's eyes, because when he looks upon us, he sees his son standing in our place. And that is like, yes. So how to win the battle for holiness? I just have 10 bullet points. The first one, stay in the word. We can't live by God's word unless we know his word. Treasure his word in your heart. Rehearse scripture, memorize it. It is wisdom, and it instructs us on how to live. It keeps us from fleshly thoughts and immorality. It transforms, renews, and cleanses us. So meditate on the word day and night. Scrutinize all that we hear against the truth of God's word. The word is our foundation. Let us obey it. Number two, don't allow the things of this world to dominate our thoughts and priorities. We are not living or thinking like the world. Instead, we are separated from the world and living to please God. Set your mind on the things above, on God, and on the hope of heaven. Remember who you are. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Number three, take every thought captive and let not any thought go unchecked. Replace all lies with the truth of God's word. Rehearse truth throughout the day to yourself, which rewires our thinking pattern. And these truths become solidified in our minds. If we preach the truth to ourselves, then we default to the truth rather than lies. We are to engage our mind on the truth that transforms us. So Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Number four, prayer. Prayer keeps us connected with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Our primary link to holiness is through prayer. Prayer causes us to bring everything captive before God. Our mindset changes to a heavenly mindset when we pray. Prayer cultivates our dependence on God. Number five, Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Our transformation is not about willpower, but about the Spirit's power working in us. We are to walk with dependence on the Spirit. The Spirit is our warning system. So when the Spirit is leading you, obey it immediately. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." The Spirit brings about obedience. When we submit to God's will, we are able to experience all God has for us, joy, peace, purity, freedom, and every other good thing. Number six, make the most of trials. Trials strengthen, refine, test, and grow our faith, which produces endurance, so we may be mature and complete, lacking nothing, as James says. Trials help us trust God more deeply, thank Him for our difficulties, even though it's hard to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Number seven, have an attitude of gratitude. Rid yourself of grudges, resentments, and unforgiveness. Be grateful for the undeserved kindness that the Lord bestows on us daily, because we deserve judgment and death, but we have been given life through His Son. Number eight, fellowship with other believers. Surround yourself with other believers who will build you up in the faith and call you to accountability. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Let us love and serve others well. Number nine, the worst thing I am burdened with in my life is not pain, loss, hardship, or anything else, but my sin, because there is a holy God that demands righteousness. I sin against God every day. I shake my fist at Him frequently and make little of my sin. We need to flee from temptation. Don't entertain it. Confess sin quickly and know that God hears us and forgives us. Obey Him in all areas of life. Lay aside any hindrance, sin, that is keeping you from running with endurance and walk in a manner worthy of His call. And 10, and the last one, always walk with integrity in your heart. Do what is right and pleasing to the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be intentional about living a holy life. Be faithful in doing the small things He has called you to do. The flesh is not destroyed at conversion, so our battles and struggles go on. When Christ is not on the throne, the Spirit's work is limited. So we are to seek His kingdom as the main goal of our life. We are to live out holiness wherever we are, whomever we are with, and in everything we do and say. Remember that God has called us to whatever we are facing. Whatever He has called me to do, He will empower me to complete that. We are not left on our own. He is faithful and fighting for us, and He gives us the wisdom and the strength that we need to surrender to His holy call in every area of our life. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for each one of these sisters. They are such a blessing to me. I thank You that You brought all of us together, each one of them, into our lives. And I pray that we will all seek You and that we will all strive to be holy as You are holy. And I thank You for this meeting, this women's conference that we can have to just fellowship around You and Your word and just praise You and give You glory for all things, because You are worthy of praise. You are sovereign and we love You. And I pray that we will be obedient children and glorify You in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.